This is Sports Saturday on SB Nation Radio, live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios in Houston. Here's Matt Harab and Nick Sciarra.
Welcome back in. Mississippi State has a 17-14 lead right now on the Louisville Cardinals as that game winds down towards the end of the half. Louisville trying to score a last-second touchdown. But now on the phone with us is Gina Thomas, SB Nation reporter for the Falcoholic, covers the Atlanta Falcons, covers all things NFL. Gina, thank you very much for taking time out of your Saturday. How are you?
I'm doing great, thanks. How are you?
I am good. All right, you've covered this NFC South all year. Who's the best team? If I were to tell you who is the best team in terms of talent right now across the board between the Falcons, the Panthers, and the Saints, forget the records, forget everything that's happened over the course of the year, talent-wise, who's the best team in that division?
You know, I have to say that even with the Bucs, I think that these teams are pretty evenly stacked in terms of talent, but if I have to award it to one particular team, I've got to go with the Saints. I know Falcons fans aren't going to like that, but, you know, just look at the talent that they've added on defense. It seems like they hit on pretty much every draft pick, and I think that it does show in their record.
What about the struggles? Talk about the struggles that they've been able to overcome. What would you say the biggest struggle that they've overcame and kind of gotten through in terms of obstacles?
You know, for the Saints, I think that it's really just improving on the defensive side of the ball. This is a defense that has been honestly terrible for the past few seasons, and to see them take such a big step forward, not just in terms of the pass rush, which has improved dramatically, but also in terms of the secondary. Marshawn Lattimore has been a great addition. I think that he's a viable defensive player, or rookie defensive player of the year candidate, and so, you know, they just have really impressed me on that side of the ball. I think that that's definitely their biggest improvement.
Gina Thomas joining us at Gina Thomas on Twitter. She's an SB Nation NFL writer, specifically the Falcoholic. Let's go to the Falcons. Can we trust this Atlanta team, Gina? I still don't know. Like, do I trust Matt Ryan? He's clearly not the same from last year. Not the same on the field, not the same without his offensive coordinator from last year. I look at Atlanta, honestly, and I say they're going to be a first-round exit if they get in. What can you say about this team, and why have they struggled as much as they have this year?
Yeah, I think that that's a fair assessment. And I think that the biggest issue for this team is just the adjustment period that they're going through from Kyle Shanahan to Steve Sarkisian. And we certainly saw a very similar adjustment period in 2015 during Shanahan's first year. It's a very big adjustment to switch to a different coordinator. Sark is still getting accustomed to calling plays at this level. That was something that was new for him this season. And so we've seen him improve throughout the season. We've seen the offense play a little bit more cohesively as the season's gone on. But I think that you still see some big lapses, some mental mistakes. I think that everybody's still just settling into the new coordinator. And I think that it's, you know, they're just too inconsistent to really get much done in the postseason.
But so I've heard Sean Salisbury, the Sean Salisbury Show, talk on this network about how Matt Ryan is on the field. Sure, we can blame the coaches, but Matt Ryan is the guy at the end of the day who has to make the decisions. And I heard you just say there, okay, everybody is getting adjusted. We're 15 games into the season here. Shouldn't they have already adjusted by this point?
I don't know. I mean, I'm just going off of what I've seen from Ryan in 2015 when he had a horrible year, the worst season of his career except for 2009 when he missed a couple of games with turf toe. And so I just think that it's such a big change and so much to get acclimated to that we'll probably see them take another step forward last year. The other thing is, last season was ridiculous. I mean, the way that that offense performed, the way that they were firing on all cylinders in seemingly every game, they were pretty much unstoppable. And so there was always going to be a little bit of a setback, too, a little bit of a regression to the mean. So I think that we're seeing both of those things.
We're speaking with Gina Thomas here on SB Nation Radio and SBNationRadio.com. You can find her work on the Falcoholic. Where are you on the draft picks? I know you said they pretty much hit on every draft pick. Is there any particular one that stands out the most? Is there anyone that could, you know, potentially stand out in the future, maybe next season with progression?
Oh, for the Saints? Yeah, Alvin Kamara. I mean, they got him in the third round, and that kid is first-round talent. They really might have the offensive rookie of the year and the defensive rookie of the year on that team,
yeah,
which is crazy to think about. But yeah, Alvin Kamara has just blown me away the way that he's performed this season. He is so good as a receiver out of the backfield. He is so hard to bring down as a runner. And for him to be a third-round pick and to play like this, I can't help but be really genuinely impressed by him.
So, Gina, who is the best team in the NFC right now? Like, I look at the Eagles. Obviously, they have the best record in the NFC. But we've seen two inconsistent games from them since Carson Wentz was hurt. I mean, that game against the Giants, it was the defense that kind of fell apart. You're like, whoa, the Giants are horribly offensively, yet they gave up 29 points. Last week, the offense couldn't move the ball against Oakland. So they haven't put two complete games together since Carson Wentz has been out. What do you think of their Super Bowl aspirations?
Yeah, I mean, I think that everybody knew that Nick Foles was not going to play up to Carson Wentz's level. Before Wentz went down with the torn ACL, he was having an MVP campaign. I mean, he was probably going to be the league MVP, and he certainly would have earned it. Their defense is still good. Their run game is still really good, but Foles is such a big setback that I think that it does deliver a pretty substantial blow to their Super Bowl hope. The Vikings are a really complete team. They're a very good team. It's been very impressive to see what they've been able to do with Case Keenum at quarterback. I mean, he looks like a viable NFL starter. And their defense is great. They've just got so much talent on that side of the ball. I think the Zimmer scheme is really, really good. So the Vikings, I would say at this point, are probably the team that scares me the most. But the Saints are very well-rounded. The Panthers are kind of up and down, but they can be dangerous. You know, Cam Newton is always a difficult quarterback to defend. And even though they're, you know, working with guys down the depth chart at receiver, they went to the Super Bowl with Billy Brown and, you know, like no receivers in 2015. And so I think anything can happen there. So I think the NFC postseason is going to be really, really interesting.
Gina, I can't help but notice I'm on your Twitter and I'm trying to find links to your stories. I mean, but there's like 80 pictures of your chihuahua. Is it like a daily thing? Are you posting a daily picture of your chihuahua?
What's her name?
Do you get in trouble? Yeah. Do you get in trouble for all the tweets of your chihuahua? Does the Falcoholic say anything about that?
No. Actually, everybody at Falcoholic loves my chihuahua too. He's very cute and he's very sassy, and so everybody likes to see pictures of him and hear about all the ways he does not listen to anything that I say.
I just wanted to pick on you a little bit, but real quick, I mean, Matt Ryan, in terms of longevity, just. This will be my last question, unless Matt has something. But Matt Ryan, where do you see in terms of like what? How many more years do you give him? I mean, where do you see his career going after this season?
You know, I would say that he's still got another 3 or 4 good years in him, and at that point, you know, you'd have to really take a step back because of his age and reassess. But I've been saying for the past couple of years, it's time for the team to draft somebody who can learn behind him. That's how teams used to handle it, and then really Matt Ryan and Joe Flacco changed everything because now teams draft rookies that they expect to be able to come in and start right away. But I would like to see the Falcons and other teams kind of shift back to drafting a guy, letting him develop like the Packers did with Aaron Rodgers, so that then you have your quarterback in waiting when your franchise guy decides to retire. And so I do think it's time for the Falcons to start kind of thinking about life after Matt Ryan, but I think that we're a few years away from that.
Gina Thomas, our guest, SB Nation NFL reporter. You can follow on Twitter at Gina Thomas. Speaking of another quarterback situation moving forward, you were talking about the Minnesota Vikings, and we'll get to the AFC in a second here, but the Vikings, it seems to me like there's just this common thought that Case Keenum is not going to re-sign with Minnesota. I mean, what more could he do to prove to the team that he can be their franchise quarterback? What do you think Minnesota's quarterback situation is going to be next year? Is that guy on the roster right now?
You know, Minnesota, I think, has a real quandary because, for one thing, you know, Sam Bradford played really well for them, and then Keenum came in and played really well for them, and now Teddy Bridgewater is healthy enough to play. And, of course, Teddy was the face of the franchise and was definitely their franchise quarterback before he suffered that devastating knee injury that kept him out for the better part of 2 seasons. And so I think that they're just really in a quandary. I'm not sure what they do because Keenum has certainly done enough to earn consideration as the team's starting quarterback going forward. But Teddy is also the guy that they drafted and developed. So do you trade Keenum or, you know, do you let Keenum walk? Keenum's done enough to get a decent contract someplace else. Or do you start shopping Bridgewater? And so I think that it's going to be a really difficult series of decisions there for Minnesota this offseason.
Yeah, I think they're definitely in a quandary. So are the Jaguars, to be honest. Jacksonville, you know, Blake Bortles has come on over this last month, and then he took a step back last week. Is this a two-team race in the AFC between the Patriots and the Steelers, or can you see Jacksonville or possibly Kansas City jumping in there and contending for the AFC crown?
Yeah, you know, I think that it's the AFC is going to be really interesting, too, because you do have, you know, sort of the old guard, the guys who are always in there, Patriots and Steelers. But it's been fun to see the Jaguars go from completely irrelevant to actually contender. And, you you know, Blake Bortles is Blake Bortles. You've got to always take him with a grain of salt when he's playing well. But their defense is so dominant that I'm not sure that it matters. And so if Blake can string together a decent game and limit mistakes and the defense does what the defense does, then I think that they could contend.
You know, it's funny.
The Chiefs are so up and down, too. You know, it's hard to rule them out because of the talent that they have. But we also saw them kind of hit a skid this season, and they didn't even look like the team that beat the Patriots in week one. So they're a team that is hard to pin down.
Really? That's definitely true. You know, it's funny. I look at both conferences' playoff pictures, Gina. Gina Thomas with us of SB Nation, the Falcoholic of the Falcons SB Nation page, but she's also a reporter for the NFL. I look at the two situations in each conference, and I say they're very different. Like, everybody in the NFC, for the most part, is pretty well balanced and kind of the same. But in the AFC, you look at the Jaguars, you've got plenty of defense on that side of the ball, not so much offense. The Steelers are very balanced. Patriots, great offense. Chiefs are fast and inconsistent. But when it comes to Kansas City, to me, it's getting Kareem Hunt involved. That is key, and that is how they've been better over the last couple of weeks. What do you think happened over the course of the season with Kansas City where Kareem Hunt kind of disappeared for the middle part of the regular season? What happened there, and how did they get back to it? Because he is very important.
Well, I think that he went off against the Patriots, and everyone was like, who the heck is this guy? Like, where's this guy come from? And then I think that defense was keyed in on him to slow him down. I think that the Patriots really had no way to plan for this guy because he was a rookie, and I don't think anybody expected him to do what he did against them, you know, three touchdowns and all that business. And so I think that once defense keyed in on him, then it was up to Kansas City to adjust and find ways to get him in space because he's so dangerous when he does. And so I think that they've figured out how to do that. You know, they've kind of adapted to defenses, adapting to Hunt. And so I think that you're right. I think that it does come down to getting him involved. And if they can do that, and if guys like Kelce can stay healthy, I think that they could be competitive in the AFC.
Gina Thomas has been our guest. You can follow her on Twitter at Gina Thomas. Let me ask you one more question about your dog. Do Chihuahuas shed? Because I got a Husky right now in my house, and it's like the fur is all over the house, and it bothers me. Does your Chihuahua shed a lot? Like, I'm thinking of switching dogs.
You know, he sheds less than my old. I used to have a Chow Chow Golden Retriever mix. I lost him this fall. He was 15 years old. So he said he would shed a ton everywhere. This dog sheds, but when you have such a small dog and it's just these tiny little white hairs here and there, it's really not as bad. He can only shed so much. He's just a little guy.
Oh, well, enjoy him and enjoy the holidays. Thank you very much for coming on, Gina Thomas of SB Nation. Thanks, and enjoy your weekend, Gina.
Thank you. Thanks so much for having me.
We'll be back next on SB Nation Radio.